think sometimes it's the... I'm not saying it's the distraction of the program, but sometimes you just... You move as the Holy Spirit tells you to move. And there's one thing that I believe it's necessary. It's necessary for us to hear from the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's go to John 14 real quick. John 14. John 14, verse 27. We have a baptism today at after service times. I know Brother Stephen, there's a few on the bus. So if you could coordinate with them who's gone and grab a pair of shorts also today. And Stephen, you too. You guys want to join us for baptism, that'll be at 1 o'clock at Holiday Inn Express. Is that right? Or it's got a new name. So call it Uncle Ken's Place. So, but there'll be baptisms. Amen. It's always great to baptize people. Amen. It's a great thing to see people baptized into the Lord, and I know we've got some others that said they may go later on, but I think we've got, I don't know how many we have today. Praise God. Just, I don't know, maybe we'll baptize some visitors at the Holiday Inn there. So I minister there every time I'm there with a few guys. Had some interesting conversations sometimes. Praise God. But that'll be at 1 o'clock today. So don't if you want to come out and support people there, you know. Be with people. That's awesome. Amen. I'm thankful for the facilities we're given. You know, I have a word and I have a message, and I feel that it's where we're going to be for a little bit, because we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but. Whether in the spirit or whatever it was this morning, I felt as if I could see just a weight. And then I paused for a second and I looked at the pulpit, and I'm being very transparent with you this morning here, and I felt the weight of the pulpit. Now that might seem like I felt as if it was on my back. And I felt like Kali had, you know, honestly, whether in the spirit or, I don't know where I went, who knows. But I felt like Kali took the pulpit and he set it on my back. And I was here and I was ministering and I was carrying the pulpit on my back as I was ministering. And I was like, Lord, what is that? What is that? What is, you know, because personally, I'm not sitting here saying that I necessarily feel the natural weight, but it was a physical weight. It was a physical weight, and so even during time of worship, you know, you can pray and seek the Lord, right, for like clarity. And I'm like, Lord, give me clarity in what needs to be delivered to the people this morning. So I'm very much being led by the Holy Spirit this morning, and need to be. Amen. So let's pray. And the second service might look a little different, but. Praise God. I'm thankful for everything God is doing, and I'm thankful for the family of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the family of God. So let's pray. You pray for me this morning. Will you pray for me this morning? Because I believe we're digging in a little. We're digging in somewhere today. Amen. So let's pray, and let's thank God for who He is. Amen. Father, I thank you today for the Word of God and the Spirit of Truth, Father. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, even revelation, God, above all else, I pray that the revelation would flow into this house, flow into the hearts and minds of people. Father, that, you know, Lord, even today, that, Lord, you know, Lord, a word. I pray very specifically today, Father, that you would release a word into your people. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, you know, it's seemingly today that if there's any weight that people are under, Father, Lord, we come together in agreement that it would be lifted now in Jesus' mighty name. This weight would be cast off, cast aside now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In John 14, 27, and I'm going to talk about this because I you know, and it does tie into to where to where I feel like the Lord maybe, you know, I believe is wanting to move this morning. John 14:27. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Neither let it be afraid. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your word in Jesus' name. You know, as a Christian, we're instructed not to worry. Right? We're instructed not to fear, not to worry. We're instructed not to, you know, and to bring our mind, to bring our minds into a place, subject our minds to the Word of God. Absolutely 100%. As your pastor, I know the word that, you know, if there's an area in my life that I'm lacking, I will be absolutely honest with you. I believe that there's an element or something that I'm missing there in faith, or there's something in the Word that I don't comprehend, or that I don't have the wisdom thereof. Now, I say all of this to say that as a Christian, you know, we're instructed not to worry, but it yet at times we do. You know, your pastor, you don't preach this way very often. You don't talk about things like this. You don't talk about, you know, and like I said, fear's not from God. I'll be flat honest with you. Please understand, fear is not from the Lord. You know, Jesus says something very plain here. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, I give to you." So I recognize where my peace and where my help has to come from. Okay, so first and foremost, I know that the Word of God can work in a situation in my life. But I'm going to be, let me be very real. We've got to move into a place where our minds are freed from the things of the world. We have to get to a place where, you know, it's like, and above all else, I have an immovable, I have a steadfast kind of faith. I'm not going to be moved by circumstances, situations. I'm not going to be moved by I have an immovable faith. Now that sounds powerful, right? That sounds like, yes, that's where I want to be as a believer. But what happens when this happens? What happens when that happens? You get back into that place where you say, "I'm going to remain. I'm going to remain. I'm going to remain steadfast. I'm going to remain in my posture. My position is going to remain in Him because my peace is in Him. My peace is in Him." You know, look at John 16:31 real quick. It's interesting. It's just so interesting in John 16. John 16, verse 31, 30 through 33. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" And Jesus spent time ministering. You'll find that these chapters are so clear in what Jesus was saying to His disciples. Very clear to us because, you know, we have the Word now as truth, and we believe the Word. Jesus answered to them. He says, "Do you believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." I mean, you know, so Jesus is saying something here very quickly. Put your finger on Jeremiah 17. I think the Lord just highlighted that too. Put your finger on Jeremiah 17. Because you know, Jesus is saying, "Look, I'm going to be in this place where I'm all alone. You're going to leave me. You're getting ready to leave me." So in a natural sense, in our natural minds, we think sometimes it's like when things begin to become array, things begin to, you know, man, what happens? We oftentimes feel alone, right? We oftentimes feel like nobody understands, nobody cares, nobody, you know, how is it that I find myself in this position? Can I show you something? Even in scriptures, Jesus found Himself in this position. "You're going to leave me. You're going to leave me." I'm going above and beyond, and even talking. You know, I'm not talking just about loneliness today. I'm not. You know, there's so many things, and like I said, I feel like what God's wanting to do is He's wanting to lift the weight. He's wanting to take the weight that you know that so easily can attach itself to you, and pull you one way or another way. Our mind shouldn't be scattered and be all over the place. Amen. You guys, listen. That includes your pastors. Our minds, we have to keep a steadfast and immovable faith. 1 Corinthians 15, we talked about it, you know, last week, you know, being steadfast 2 weeks ago. How being immovable, being steadfast, staying the course. But John 16:31, Jesus says, answered, he said, do you believe indeed the hour is coming? Yes. Has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things, watch this, because this is powerful. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. No matter what, you may have peace. You may have peace. You may have peace. I'm going to tell you, peace is not found in the world. True peace. Now, you can have moments of peace. You can have moments of joy. You can have moments of, learning about patience. You can have these things in a world view or in a world stance for a moment of time. But true peace, true revelation comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. In the world, you will have tribulation. We don't talk about this often, do we? In the world, you'll have tribulation. But watch what Jesus says. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. You know, the enemy's plan, of course, we know, is to steal, kill, and destroy. However, It lends itself to a place of distraction a lot of times. And a lot of times why, you know, and I love this because, you know, and I was going to somehow come around the word around peace today. But when I begin to see this weight, I'm thinking there's no peace. There's people. These are the weights that I, you know, God was showing me something personally today about the weight of the pulpit. So I'm searching my heart today and saying, Lord, okay. That what you just showed me was not peaceful. That which you're showing me is, so Lord, what is it that I've got to connect myself? I've got to get myself into that place where, hey, this weight's not there. So I've got, you know, listen, you know, even in that, you've got to fix your eyes. You've got to fix your focus. You know, yo-yo Christianity is not a fun way to live as a Christian. It's not fun, you know. It's like, you know, I'm going to go around the mountain. I'm going to go around the mountain, right? I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, we're believing God for stuff, but we're just going around the mountain. I'm going to tell you, there's a place where we can come to and fix our attentions upon Him. Sometimes we've got to stop walking around the mountain. Just stop. Just stop. Quit. Quit. Even as the Spirit of the Lord was, just quit. Stop. Quit walking around the mountain. Quit walking around the mountain. Quit. Stop. Stop. You know, we walk around the mountain. And sometimes it's like, why? See, Jesus said it. He said it here. He said, look, you have tribulations. Has anybody not had tribulations of some form? I'm just curious. So it's fair to say that what Jesus said in His Word is very true, okay? Now, my focus, by all means, is not to focus on the tribulation or the trials or the place in which the enemy can gain leverage or gain a foothold. Because Jesus says, you get this in. Jesus is saying, you know what? Yeah, okay, this is going to happen, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Who did he overcome the world for? For us. For us. So we move into an area, we move into a realm where our eyes, you know, there's a remaining. You know, Lord, I'm not seeing this, or I'm not seeing the breakthrough in this. There's a place. And I believe it to be possible. There's a place where, you know, like I said, it, Lord, help me with my thoughts. You know, Lord, you know, and the Bible says in Romans 12, don't conform to the patterns of this world. What's the Bible saying? Don't try to figure this out like in a world sense. Pastor Brenda, I'm not preaching this because of the conversation we had last night. I believe that there's a real breakthrough coming for the body of Christ and for the children of God. I believe there's a real breakthrough coming for the body of Christ. And I'm not sitting here telling you that you have to endure with the weight on your back any longer. You know, Rick Joyner wrote a book many years ago, and we taught it many years ago. And then, you know, he had a prophetic vision, and in the vision he was watching the children of God move up the mountain, which was a representation of the church. And as they were moving up the mountain, and I even at the point in time I was reading this, I could close my eyes and I could see this battle taking place. And Christians by the millions were moving forward, and they were taking territory. They were moving to take territory, but the enemy from afar stood off shooting arrows into their backs. And I've had this picture even this year that, you know, the enemy has tried to be relentless with families, with people you know, with people that you love. But, you know, you're here. You're here. Amen? You're here. You're here. Why is that? It's because you've chosen. You've chosen no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to remain steadfast. I'm going to remain immovable. Is it always easy? No, it's not always easy. But I'm reminded of the words of Jesus, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. You know, I truly believe this. I believe that God is calling us even the church, the global church, into an area of great maturity in this hour. Great maturity. Because there have to be us as God's kids, we have to be in a place where we can begin to point people towards the truth. The truth is so skewed in our world today. People don't know truth. They don't understand truth. They, you know, Christians don't know truth because you know, beyond reading the Bible, people don't study the Bible. You know, I could come in here today and we could sit and talk about, you know, the realities of the tribulations, and everybody in here, we could go through and, you know, keep me in prayer. I've got this going on. I've got that going on. We could sit. Every one of us could say, but you think, even in this congregation, people are like, no, I'm pushing through. I'm pushing through. I'm going to remain. I'm going to remain. I'm going to push through. You know, as today, you know, some of you, probably more women than men, you woke up this morning and you went to the closet and you made a decision to put on clothes, right? We all made a decision. We all got clothes on today, right? We made a decision to put on clothes. And some of the women today, you probably went through more than one shirt. I don't know. Did you go through multiple things this morning? Not today. I don't know. Three different outfits. Yeah. So. You know what I did this morning? This is the honest truth. I woke up and think, what did I wear last Sunday? Because, you know, I should change it up at least once a week, right? You know, my clothes are clean. I clean my clothes, but I should change it up at least once a week. I thought, well, I got a gray jacket, I think, and Gracia said that. She said, you know, that gray jacket and jeans one time you wore that looked good. I thought, okay, that'll work, you know. That's about as far as it went for me. You know, Take your Bibles, go to Colossians. I'll come back to Jeremiah in a second, maybe. Because what you choose to put on every day, you think about it. The Bible says, "Put on the armor of God." Who has to do that? We do. We have to. Thinking about that just for a second. Why do we put armor on? To be in a place where we know that in the world there's going to be a battle. You know, and sometimes we don't feel like putting armor on, right? Sometimes we just feel like waking up, rolling out of bed, wiping the fog out of our eyes. But I think that the important things of what Jesus is saying. No. You don't forget your armor. You've got to put it on. You've got to put these things on no matter the situation, because you know any weak point in the armor is a place in which the enemy can attack. Any weak place in the armor, if the enemy sees that, you know, you woke up and you didn't put the breastplate on. You didn't put the helmet of salvation on. You left the house without the sword. The enemy's like, okay, I see. I see. I guys, listen, there's such an assault today on the church. There's such an assault taking place in the world. The things that are happening in the Middle East now, we don't see it in our news. We don't. You know, I was talking to a few service guys this past week and, you know, was talking about, you know, you think about then in the 90s when Brother Don and Brian and them were in the military. And if there were missiles being launched at Israel, there would have been a full-out all war. That's exactly what would have happened. There would have been, you know, our military would have been called up just like that. There would have been full-on, World War III would have taken place. It wasn't God's timing, but to understand the hour in which we live is so critical and so important. I know I say that a lot, but listen, we have to make a decision as believers. You know, no matter what, this is what we're going to put on. Put on the armor of God. Let's look at Colossians real quick. You know, I think it was Joyce Myers. I heard her say, you know, feelings, yeah, it's okay to have them, but you don't let your feelings have you. Man, that was so good on her. You know, it was so good. Where did I tell you to go? Colossians, right? Yeah. Colossians 3. You know, again, some of you, Amanda changed three times today, trying to make a decision what to put on. Listen, we have to be battle ready. You know, even with the fruits of the Spirit, you know, which eventually I'll get around to that, not today, but we have to put them on. You know that like the fruits of the Spirit and the things that I'm getting ready to read in Colossians. You know, these are indirectly decisions that we have to make in life. You know, every fruit of the Spirit is a seed. Every fruit of the Spirit is a seed. And it's like, and you know, what you have to do with a seed, you have to water that seed to get it to grow. And so I'm reminded oftentimes, you know, even the checks in my own personal life, you know, around the fruits of the Spirit, you know, which, you know, the Bible says above these there's no law. You can grow and you can practice and move in the fruits of the Spirit as much as you desire and as much as you want to. But it's so important that you understand something even this morning. It's that we have to choose to put these things on. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. What's it say on here? It says, put on tender mercies. Put on. You guys catching this? Put on. Put on tender mercies. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Honestly, has anybody ever prayed for patience here? How'd that work out for you? I don't pray for patience. It's a fruit that I need to grow in. I shouldn't say that I don't pray for patience. I understand there's an element of something that I have to learn to control. I have to control the flesh. But when you pray for patience, a lot of times there's a trial or tribulation or something you're going to move through. He's going to show you. But to be reminded that you got to put this armor on. You've got to put these things on in your life. I believe very much so that if we're going to be fruitful Christians, we're going to produce fruit. We're going to bear fruit. There are things as believers we have to put on. We have to put on. Therefore, as elect of God, are we the elect of God? Yes, amen. If you're born again, you're the elect. You've been chosen. Are you born again? Are you saved? If you're not saved today, you can get saved. Get your heart right with Jesus. What does it mean to be the elect? What does it mean to be saved? It means that you give your heart to Jesus Christ. You say, I want to make Him Lord of my life. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, what? Put on love. Put on love. You know, guys, directly, these are things that he's calling to. If the church doesn't do this, then we know the world's not going to, right? You know, Miranda and I were watching the Olympics the other day, and guys, listen, everybody can see the problems. You know, a girl won a silver medal. And you know, you're happy for everybody that wins a medal, right? But the only thing coming out of this girl's mouth was, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of myself. I don't know if anybody sees. I'm proud of myself. And you know what you have to guard on, you know, that's why being clothed, putting the arm on. Those kinds of things will kill pride. Put Christ on. It'll kill that. But as I sit and listen to her, and I said, Marina, she said it four times. I'm so proud of myself. In the interview, I'm proud of what I've done. It wasn't, you know, I get it to a point. She's worked hard her whole life to get to the Olympic Games. You know, it could have been something, you know, there could have been some humility there. But I'm thankful. You know, I've worked hard to get to where I'm at. I'm happy that, you know, I've got a silver medal today. But it was like, I'm proud of myself. And that's the thing that we have to destroy the works of the flesh. By putting these things on. Put on love. Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Everything is birthed through love. Everything is birthed through love. Every fruit, you know, I think it was Brother Greg was talking about it. Every fruit precedes itself. But listen, if you have not love, you have not genuine love. You know, people say, "Well, I love God." Then you better love people. You because that's what God loves. That's why he gave his son up. People that want to get uptight about stuff like that, you know, it's like, well, you know, I just don't like, you know, God loves people. Every race, every color, every tribe, every tongue, he loves people. He loves people. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God, here it is again, let the peace of God rule in, where is it supposed to rule? In our hearts. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. To which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Put on. Put on. Put on. You know, I think this week, you know, it's been such an interesting week. We've had just numerous things. Like, I literally went to take an oil filter off my lawnmower yesterday. And I, you know, I'm getting everything running. Zephan's going to bring the mower up here to get the grass cut and all that. And I know he's going to be home soon. I'm like, you know, I'm doing a tune up on the mower. It's going to take 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I'm going to have all that done. And I get spark plugs changed, filter, fuel filter, get all that stuff done. And my oil filter is locked on my mower. I don't have a wrench. I don't, you know, some people keep wrenches to get their oil filter off. It should be hand tight, right? That's what everybody, your filter, you should be able to grab a hold of it. And grab a hold of it, doesn't turn. And I'm like, what is going on? And in my mind, I was like, well, you know, I remember how I did this one time. I don't know if anybody's ever done this. Just take a screwdriver, right? Just go right through the... All the guys are shaking their head. Yeah, I bet. So I go and I get a screwdriver. I think, you know, I'll just get this thing out. I hit it. It's a small filter. So it completely crushes the side of the filter when I did it. I think my screwdriver might have been too big. I'm like, not a problem. It'll still rotate. And so... As I go to rotate the wrench, it rips through the whole filter. I'm thinking, what is going on? I'm going to go get a wrench, right? Miranda probably wondered what I was doing yesterday, and now the house like four times. You know, it might be normal some days. But I go up to Napa, and I go to look at an oil filter, a wrench. It was like $65. I'm like, I'm not paying $65 for an oil filter wrench. Probably could call a friend. They probably have one. And I think, you know, I got a strap. I'm just going to go back home and try this strap. And I'm reminded the whole time, have peace. Have peace. Have peace in this situation. And just keep your peace. I've already got things planned today. I'd already been studying for a couple hours. So, you know, he's got to use the mower, get the mower up there. Grass needs cut, you know. Have peace. And I go, and it won't turn. I ended up and actually chipped off more of the oil filter. Okay, now I'm looking at about a third of an oil filter now, thinking, man, I think I just really messed up. I don't know how I'm going to get this thing off here. Well, I'm going to go buy a wrench now. I should have bought a wrench. I should have went and got one in the very beginning. when the filter was a little longer. Well, I go get the wrench. The filter won't turn. At this point, I have no filter left. Now, I don't know if... Has anybody ever been here before? Any of you guys done something stupid like that before? I have no filter left because I have ripped the whole filter off with the screwdriver and with a set of pliers. And I thought, okay, now I can get into the filter and I can turn it. I can peck it. Zephon shows up, but you know, he was like, "Are you going the wrong way?" And I'm like, "It said clockwise to get it off." And I was back and forth, and it was just froze up. And Zephon said, "Tap that thing the other way." And so I did, and it began to move. And it came off. But my point in telling you this story, you know, this was 2.5 hours. And what should have taken 20 minutes. And I realized something very quickly. That at that moment, that's something that could have crushed me, could have wrecked the rest of my day. But you know, man, I knew just even, and that's a very small thing compared to the few things that have happened this week. My car locked up one night, Wednesday after men's, Tuesday night. I went going home. Car's just acting simple. I coast in the driveway and thinking it's this, and this. It's locked up. Guy comes and picks it up and says, "Well, you know, I got some bad news for you." I don't like bad news. Anybody like bad news? I don't like bad news. Amen. I want good news. He said, "I think you're, and I said, "I don't think." He said, "Your timing chain's bust." And he said, I said, "Well, how much is it going to cost to fix it?" He was like, "It'd be cheaper for you to buy a new engine." Okay, praise God. "How much do I owe you for coming, picking it up, and looking at it?" You know, it's. He said, "Well, you know, I don't want to break you up." "Well, you're not going to break me up. Just tell me how much I owe you, and I'll pay you." You know. I said, "How much is it worth now?" He said, I don't know." He said, "You might be able to junk it." I'm like, "Junk it?" And Brian reminded me the other day. He said, "The tires and wheels are worth more than that." I say all this to say that. Man, sometimes there's a place where you've got to rest. You've got to rest in knowing that above all else, that weight that you're carrying, you're not required to carry it. You're not, pay attention to what God's saying right now. Pay attention to the things that God's asking you to do. Because I believe that God's calling us to a place of bearing great fruit in this time period. Amen. Some of you have been bearing fruit for a long time. Some of you've got you've got seed and you've been nurturing that seed, and that seed's starting to come up. What I'm saying to you today is don't quit nurturing that. Because see, what's going to happen is that as you begin to nurture that, as you begin to walk in the fruits, as you begin to grab a hold of these things, this weight doesn't feel like such a heavy weight. Guys, I'm not saying that the weights of life aren't there. There, you know, listen, we live in a fallen world. You live in a world that's corrupt. So we have to be able to spot and recognize every divisive strategy of the enemy to pull you away from the things of God. Because the enemy definitely doesn't want you to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. He would rather for you to be you know, mad, proud, angry, hate people. Hate, you know, that's what the enemy, he wants you to hate people. "Well, I like this person, but I don't like that person." That's from hell. When we start going through life picking, you know, see, that's why these weights don't come off easily. If we're gonna throw this weight off, it's like, you know, you put it on. Not for the sake of anybody else, but for you to walk holy as a believer and walk holy as a Christian. Oh man, meekness, humility, everything that it said in Colossians. Put on tender mercies. Put on love. Put these things on. Huh. You know what I love about the word is when I look at Colossians and I look at Galatians 5, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self control. Against such there's no law to practice these things, to do these things. That's truly what God's wanting us to do as children. It's how you become fruit-bearing, and it's how you become fruitful. Amen. Minister, just go ahead and come to the keyboard. Yeah. For myself right now. Guys, listen, I'm telling you, I can't share it, but I got it for me, and that's good, huh? Allow yourself. I'm telling you, allow yourself to be real with God. Allow yourself to be transparent with God. God knows you. He absolutely 100% knows you, and it's like, you know, we don't have to put on stuff. We don't have to put on Christianese to be a Christian, right? You don't have to put. I'm going to be happy because I'm at church, or I'm going to be this because, you know, because that's where I'm supposed to do it at. You know, he knows your every move. He knows your every move. And above all else, he knows your heart. He knows your heart, right? He knows your story even. Wow, isn't that cool? He knows your story from the beginning to the end. You don't think he doesn't know about the rough spots? The places where you've had to cry out to him, where you felt at times, I've got nothing else to give. Just take me home, Lord. Wouldn't that be easier? Just let me go home. He sees that. But I want you to find it in your heart today that you're here because he's chosen you to be here. And listen, I believe this 100%, that if you're still breathing and you're still living, there's a purpose for you to fulfill. There's something that God has for you. You know, I think these things sometimes, this is the direction that God gives us these things, that if we put these things on, that if we practice these things, he you know, it's, you know, Pastor Miranda, you know, it's like, and you know, it's when people, you know why people need peace? It's because there's turmoil. There's strife. There's hurt. There's pain. Why do people need peace? Well, a lot of times they need deliverance. They need healing. They need their minds need to be free because of you know, whether it's something in the past, whether it's something in the, that's happening now. It's that people. Well, you know, honestly, would see that there's one true God, amen, that wants to come in and be a part of your life. Put on. You know, I found myself again this week just Friday, you know, I had spent some time, I'd prayed, I'd fasted, you know, and then Friday I was just like, you know, I got to just go out and do something for the Lord. I just got to go out and do something for Him. You know, and I think sometimes it's like, because I could sit around and think about this, worry about that, think about, you know, what happens when you worry about the weight? The weight gets bigger. The weight gets bigger a lot of times. It just, it magnifies. You know? I was like, yeah. Let's just go. I had lunch with Ray. We had a good meeting. Praise God. It kind of got me thinking, got me moving. You see what happens when you stir yourself up? You know, Ray doesn't real. He doesn't even know. Like he doesn't even realize. Like just having lunch with him for a moment of time, how that moment right there can kick something in you. It's like you're putting yourself in it with people. And can I mean, you know, you need the Lord. You need to spend one-on-one time with the Lord. But what happened was it got something in me going. You know, and I left him. I said, you know, I'm gonna go do this, you know, working on the men's conference. We've been trying to get a lot of stuff done this week to get everything launched for this week. You know, I went, talked with a few people, had good conversations. I wasn't going in to preach at them or anything, told them who I was. Didn't have to save anybody. Everybody was saved. Praise God. Isn't that good? Everybody was saved. You know, then I called Brother John coming down the road. You know, I met with Ray, a brother in Christ, right? You guys see that whole iron sharpens iron thing. That fruit can, you know, you know it's, you know, getting around things, getting around the right things will help you. I called Brother John. You know, he was coming off work. We both had the same mind to go to a place or location to see somebody. And, you know, he said, well, my neighbor works there. Let me go down and check, you know, and just a good conversation, just talking about the event. This is going to be a good event. This is going to be fun. We're going to see people, you know, get fired up. Great men of God getting on fire. 5 minutes, you know, it was later that evening. Brother Jared from Pittsburgh calls. He said, so tell me about what you guys are doing. I said, you know, I said, this is what I feel like the Lord told me. I said, I know you're down here working with a lot of young men and boxing, and you're doing great things for the Lord here. I said, I want you to come and share. I want you to come and share your testimony. I want the men to, you know, to know, but also even to promote what you're doing in Fairmont for young men. Because that stuff's, I'm sitting around praying about the event, and that's when the Lord, you know, he was like, call him. I don't know whether he's going to come or not. He's like, I'll do whatever I can do to be there. I said, I'll do whatever I can do to help you get here. Amen. And then he said, well, you know what? I'm going to bring some guys with me. Is that okay? Praise God. Amen. Bring as many as you can. You know, see, that's the thing, because, you know, go do. Pastor, you know, how do you go do? A lot of times you've got to get yourself outside of what you're already doing. Because if you shift your focus, it will allow God to come in and penetrate and it brings things into perspective. It'd be like Pastor Moran and I. For me, this is what I needed to do. I needed to get out. I needed to be in a place. For me, it's always about people. I've got to get around people because I get charged that way. I get charged because that weight. That weight doesn't really feel like a weight. You know, and even that day, it's funny. I went through the list of people. I called Brother Don. Hey, Brother Don, I just seen you go up the road. You in Bridgeport? Because I didn't know if it was him. He said, yeah. I said, well, listen, I don't know what we're going to do about the food thing, but I said, you know, listen, if we go this route, I said, our ticket price, we don't even cover food cost. And so we just begin to talk. You know, we could maybe do this and do that. You see, that's the thing about the sharpening of iron. See, God's there's a lifeline out there. A lot of times people think, people can't help me. People can't help me. See, and it's not about. See, a lot of times we place this emphasis on people helping me, giving me things. It's, you know what I needed was fellowship. See, a lot of times that's what people need. They because it will strike something in their minds. It'll move them a little further. It'll move things a little further. I thought about this morning that in America that if you make over $20,000, you're richer than 90% of the world. Well, yeah, you bread's this and milk's that. You make more than 90% of the world's population if you make over $20,000 a year. Everything's about perspective. Everything's about perspective. Everything's about perspective. I tell you, listen, go ahead and stand to your feet this morning. The burden is not yours to carry. Okay? Let me tell you that this morning. The burden is not yours to carry. You need the Lord's help. Ask. And you know what I couldn't do yesterday? I couldn't solve everything that I needed to solve. But God brought a brother, and a brother into my path. You know, Ray shows up with notes. Because Brother Greg looked at me and I'm like, he's the guy that we can put over just in laying things out because he's got administrative skills. Praise God. Ray shows up with notes. He's got things laid out. Praise God. I've got 10 things going on. So when I seen that, I was like, praise God, Brother Ray. Thank you so much. But see, that's the sharpening. I know I'm bouncing a little bit. And you know, how what's this have to do with getting the weight off of you? What I'm saying today is that you don't got to be alone in this stuff. You above all else have Christ, which is enough. Okay, which is enough. But man, you got to lean into the people that are around you, whether through prayer, whether through counsel or wisdom, amen. You know, Pastor Moran and I need wisdom. We need counsel. Absolutely, 100%. Those things are very real. They're very real in people's lives. Praise God. Good morning. Welcome to second service. Do it. Listen, if you're here today, everybody just bow your heads. You know, listen, if you're here today and